and we're about to take roll. I'm just going to sort of set the tone or the stage today. We all know this, but we're doing our best today to identify our priorities for BCP's trial court funding priorities, and we're about to get to work on that. So with that, Brandy, if you could take roll.
Judge Conklin?
Yes, present.
Ms. Fleming?
Present.
Thank you. Judge Barton?
Here.
Judge Buckley? Judge Cope?
Here.
Judge Fannin?
Here.
Judge Gabe?
Here.
Judge Heinrich?
Here.
Judge Kelly?
Here.
Judge Marginis? Judge Ryan?
Here.
Judge Thompson?
Here.
Ms. Bartleson?
And she will not be joining us today.
Thank you. Ms. Carter?
Here.
Ms. Eberhardt?
Here.
Mr. Finke?
Here.
Mr. Landry?
Here.
Mr. Planet? Mr. Rule?
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi? Mr. Taylor? Ms. Turner?
Likewise. The other team won't be able to join us either.
Mr. Yamasaki? Advisory. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yamasaki had a court emergency, so you just let me know he doesn't.
And advisory member is Mr. Wardlaw?
Yes, I'm here.
And Mr. Theodorovich?
Here.
So Brandy just finished taking roll, but did anybody just dial in that did not have a chance to acknowledge their presence? I'm hearing a few beeps. All right. So that still gives us a quorum, right, Brandy?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll just cover the real quick procedural things we all know about. The meeting's open. It's a public meeting. It's being recorded. Since this is a telephonic meeting, let's all be sure to identify ourselves and feel free to place your phones on hold as you listen, but please don't mute us because then you destroy the meeting.
Judge, it the other way around.
Don't
mute is okay, but not hold.
Maybe I didn't say that right. So mute us, feel free to mute us, but don't hold us. Right. Thanks for clearing that up. So there are just our first procedural motion, the minutes from the November 21st, 2019 meeting. Assuming everybody's had a chance to review those minutes, is there a motion to approve?
Barton, motion to approve.
And I'll call for a second.
Kelly, second.
Moved and seconded. Any opposition to the motion to approve the minutes of November 21st? And hearing none,
nope.
Minutes great. Minutes are approved. Was there a comment on the minutes?
I'm sorry. No, not on the minutes. I'm checking in late. Judge Marginis from Orange County.
Great. Thanks very much for joining us. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
So you're on the call now. There was public comment received. Obviously, there's no in-person public comment since we're telephonic today, but you were all provided that public comment when you received the materials. Brandy, was there any additional public comment?
But not.
Okay. So everybody has that. So we're now moving immediately to our discussion item. And Rebecca and I are sort of working together on this. Rebecca, I'm glad you're on the call. So as we did last year, we're now addressing our submissions or suggestions for trial court budget change proposals for 21-22. All of our members have liaisoned with trial courts. We've done our best to reach out to every trial court, including those obviously represented by members on the committee, but those who do not have membership on the committee, we wanted to make sure everybody had a chance to be heard. I'm hopeful that everyone's done that. We're just going to, in just a moment, Brandy will start from the top and just work down the list. Given the time limits we have, I'd ask if everybody could perhaps keep their comments to about a minute, maybe 2 minutes at the most, and if it appears to be repetitive of prior comments, feel free to say it's already been addressed. And again, given both attempts to be transparency, thorough, and yet also recognizing procedural aspects, we're not going to address any particular trial court's suggestion. We want to make sure that these are all viewed as statewide suggestions. So as every member comes forth with their suggestions, I just ask that we keep that approach in mind. And with that, Brandy, I want to go ahead and work. I guess I'm first on the list.
You are, Judge.
Okay, so from...
John, sorry to interrupt. This is Dan Buckley. I just want to let you know that I joined the call, and I'm sorry.
Great. Always good to have you. Thanks so much. So the concerns that I was made aware of are pretty relate to, I think, things that we're all aware of and have been ongoing, and that is related to branch efforts to address ongoing fixed costs. Some were described as automatic pay raises related to our very valuable employees, but most of the sentiment related to both appreciation for the governor recognizing those costs in the $62 million he has for this year, but a suggestion that a VCP be developed for a formulatic, a change to or an addition to the budget for the statewide trial courts that would allow an annual increase based upon those cost of living, those costs that we all have regardless of our workload. So the most common example I get is postage stamps, things that go up all the time, whether our work is up or down. And those are the suggestions that I was made aware of.
Thank you, Judge. Ms. Fleming.
Okay, so I have a few things. And so the first item that I've been made aware of is facilities and really all aspects, maintenance, build out of special needs, such as multi-defendant trials, debt service, and the opportunity for more new courthouses to be constructed. The second item, along the same lines as Judge Conklin's, is salary growth increases. In particular, it was noted maybe to match the growth rate of the state employees. Third thing was a dedicated technology funding stream that allowed for local decision making on things like servers or new technology for efficiencies. The next one was on self-represented litigants and self-help. So this was qualified by the explanation that the last year's funding allowed for the expansion, but now that the expansion has happened, there's a capacity issue with staffing because it's kind of like you will build it and they will come type of thing. And so additional funding for staffing for the capacity issues would be desired. Local fund replacement in reference to civil assessments and addressing of the maintenance of effort. And then the last thing I want to address as part of my report is there has been a request made by the California Court Reporters Association. I'm sorry, I'm calling that out, but in particular, requesting us consider a transcript rate increase. They're reporting that it's been approximately 30 years since the last increase, and they've identified the cost as $6 million to fund an increase. And so I'm including that in my report out so that it can be discussed further when the time is right.
Great, and I really appreciate that. And two things, and I should have clarified, Brandy's taking notes on all of this, and as we wrap up our individual discussions, we'll then pivot right back to the priorities that we're going to set for these. So I should have clarified that's the second portion of the meeting. And also concerning the CCRA letter, that's not a call out, that's very appropriate. That's not an individual court submission. That's a statewide concern. So, Rebecca, thanks for that. Sorry to interrupt.
And, Jed, while we're kind of on that topic, in regard to the public comment, do we want to wait to see if any of the members brought up that issue for consideration, or did you want to add it, Judge, to your list?
Which issue?
For the generators.
I'll just add it to my list. So that's everybody has it, but just so it's on the list, I'll add it to my list.
Thank you, Judge. So next we have Judge Barton.
Okay, I received a detailed response. First was general operational costs. They noted they're seeing a steady increase on various reporting requirements to agencies and departments. For example, the DOJ on conservatorship and juvenile cases, reports to the Registrar of Voters, JCC reports, things that were recommended or suggested in the trial court financial policy and procedure manual and the judicial branch contracting manual are now mandatory. And their concern is that many of these cost increases are not captured in the WAFM formula. Related is unfunded mandates. They specifically mentioned probate investigator site visits, forensic investigations for the new mental health diversion program. Then civil assessment backfill, something we've discussed before. They note that even with the 3% cap, or the reserve cap at 3%, that still does not equal one payroll for their court. Video remote system interpreting is important to include, as is IT hardware. They mentioned negotiated salary increases, courthouse construction, and more getting WAFM to 100% funded.
Will you pause for one moment while Brandy gets all that down, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
And I can repeat any of it if you need it.
I got them all now, Judge. Thank you.
Okay.
Judge Buckley.
I only have one item that's not been mentioned so far. The one I have would be very court-specific, which I know that we do not want to do. So I would just say that it would be an increase or ongoing money, but also an increase of money for facilities. And I know that probably is more of another committee, but nonetheless, it would be increase for ongoing maintenance and for upgrade of facilities.
Thank you, Judge Buckley. Judge Cope?
Yeah, the facilities maintenance issue was raised, and to the extent that it's very slightly different than that is funding for deferred maintenance of facilities. Then some of the other issues that have been discussed, I'll skip over, but court security funding was mentioned and video remote interpreting programs, which I believe was in the budget summary, but that was mentioned. And then also priority was requested for continued efforts to fund additional judgeships. And I think the others have been mentioned.
All right. Thank you, Judge Cope. Judge Fannin.
All of mine were mentioned previously. I would say that the top was for salary growth and rising operating costs and the unfunded mandates that we're constantly asked to address, and also the civil assessment backfill. And there was gratitude that they're doing as well as they are. So that's all I've got.
Thank you, Judge. Judge Gabe?
Yes, I think most of these have been mentioned, but just to give you an idea, negotiated salary increases were very high on the list for my courts, as well as court security, and then ongoing maintenance for the case management system, as well as general operational costs.
Got it. Thank you. Judge Heinrichs.
Well, with the last comments that were made, all of mine have been covered. The only thing would be that there be some ability to have a record, and that if there weren't court reporters available, that some other alternate record, the digital recording or something, be explored so that there's actual records, even when there's not court reporters available to do those. But everything else was included. Security and the backfill were the kind of high points from the courts I talked to.
Thank you. Judge Kelly?
So all of my areas have also been covered, most specifically through Judge Gabe's comments, and the case management support and the security were the highest. Also, the generator needs, the power outages, that was referenced as well, but I think that's on Judge Conklin's list now.
Thank you so much. Judge Marginis.
Hi. David Yamasaki had an emergency, not personal, but court, and couldn't be here, so I have his report. Shall I deliver both now or wait until his name is called?
Why don't you just do both?
Sorry, Judge.
Do both.
I'm sorry, Judge Conklin?
Yeah, do both.
Do both, yes. Okay. I think I actually, so that makes a total of three counties, and I think everything was covered, but just to repeat, base adjustments and the civil assessment offset of revenues were priorities, as well as continued support and increases for court operations, and again, the backfill of civil assessments.
Great. And, Judge, you said that covered both yours and Yamasaki's?
It did, yes.
Great. Thank you. Judge Ryan.
The courts that I contacted, basically it's the same that these things have already been mentioned, but I'll just mention them. The ability to get reserves back at a level greater than now and funding for adequate facilities.
To clarify, that was an increase to the current 3%?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Mentioned. Yes. Okay.
And funding for adequate facilities, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Next is Judge Thompson.
Everything has been covered by Judge Conklin, Judge Barton, Judge Heinrichs, and Ms. Fleming. Just covering briefly, that is further and greater movement toward 100% funding need, meaning general operational discretionary funding for a wide host of reasons. I won't go into all of them. Annual COLA ongoing inflation offset was raised. IT issues as well, court security funding. And one that, not sure where it falls, but it comes up, is retirement CalPERS cost adjustments, lowered projections, increased contributions by government entities has been occurring, and gap to help cover that.
Thank you. So next on the list is Ms. Bartleson. She couldn't make it. Judge Conklin, are you okay with me running through her list?
Yes, please do.
Okay, so we have interpreter funding to include VRI, CEJR remote online education expansion to allow more staff to participate while minimizing travel expenses, expansion of digital recording due to lack of court reporters, and dedicated funding for forensic evaluations. Additionally, there is records digitization, phone system upgrade, and expenses associated with moving into new courthouses. So after this is Ms. Carter.
Everything on my list has been covered. I won't repeat those. The only, I guess, possible change is for the cost increase money, there was appreciation for the money this year, but the comment was that we need a mechanism to annually update for those cost increases, and this was just a one-time allocation. So everything else has been covered. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ms. Eberhardt?
Hello. Most of the items have been addressed. I do have a couple of extra ones, and that is on the self-help funding. The two-year funding that was put in place runs on June 21, and so we'd like to see an ongoing effort there. Reimbursement of lease space or O&M paid due to lack of funding. We also have, and this I think is a county issue, but I'm putting it in anyway, Prop 66 attorney funding or funding for Prop 66. And then increase in child support funding to equal the increase in court filings over the last year. And then I only add that on the security costs, that would be for non-sheriff security costs. Other than that, everything has already been discussed. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Finke.
Thank you. I am 99% sure these have all been covered, but it's quick, so I'll go through them. Further courthouse construction, ongoing general cost increases, judgeships, interpreter funding. There is one that I think is a little bit of a spin on what was already discussed, which is some sort of a BCP to get money to address the current court reporter shortage that a lot of courts are facing through training, retention, or other incentives. CMS transition funding. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Landry.
Yes, all of them have been covered, but just to give you a flavor real quick,
The WAFM funding at 100% was top of the list. Civil assessment backfill and incremental increases to the fund balance. And last was facility maintenance.
So here, hold on. And facility maintenance was the last. Thank you. So I'll call Mr. Planet again to see if he's joined.
I did, yes. Sorry, joined late. And so I'll go with my list and maybe repeating some items that I wasn't aware of. But first, breakup or backup emergency power generators. Second, funding for non-sheriff related security. Third, ongoing funding for trial court operations. Four, ongoing funding to sustain innovation grant programs. And last, funding for additional research attorneys related to Prop 66 habeas corpus cases.
Thank you, Mr. Planet. Mr. Rule.
Yes, I think I have two new ones, and I believe digitizing records was already mentioned. I think Kim Bartleson from Humboldt, separate from the electronic court reporting, actually records management. The other was support to resubmit any of the fiscal year 2021 BCPs that are unsuccessful. And last would be for statewide budgeting software that would integrate with SAP. You know, a statewide integrated solution for all courts for budgeting software. And that's it.
Thank you. Mr. Taniguchi, have you joined?
Yeah, this is Neil. In addition to what everybody else has said, because there's a lot of commonality, in on the area of cost increases, there are specific references to the non-personnel line items, contractor costs, nonprofit as well as for-profit professional services. There's an increased instance of appointment of minors counsel, which is over and above strict cost increases. Cost increases associated with increased mental health issues in criminal cases, and that's specifically psych evaluations. And the last one is replacement and maintenance costs of security equipment that is not generally funded by the JCC.
Thank you very much. Mr. Taylor, have you joined? Mr. Taylor? Okay, so next we have Ms. Turner. I have her items as well, Judge Conklin, that I'll run through. She couldn't make it. She supports the prior BCP for trial court stabilization that included the CPI adjustments for operating expenses, new courthouse construction, and let's see, increased funding for a court who has a marshal's office, and furniture and equipment for new courthouses.
And Brandy, this is Rebecca.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I was on mute when you called Brian's name, but I actually have information.
Great. I'm ready.
Okay. Additional funding for staff or agency court reporters. Again, facility funding, in particular for capital projects and modifications, and funding for forensic examiners or a different model out there for psychiatrists. And that's it.
Thank you. I have got them all. So, Judge Conklin, I'll turn to you to see if we want to take a few minutes while Lucy and I pare this list down, and we can go over what remains after we remove some of our duplicates, and then we could talk about – sorry?
Maybe just something about the info items.
We could do that. Yeah. Judge, would you like to talk about the annual agenda while we spend a few minutes working on this list?
Sure. Let me just make a few comments. One,
yep.
I really appreciate the approach everybody took. We got this done in less than half an hour, but I don't want to have the appearance that we rushed through these. We did reach out to all the courts. A lot of our members said, you know, this is what I heard, and I think that's indicative of how important some of these are going to rise to the top. But I just want to take a moment and make sure that from our members' perspectives, nobody thinks, hold on a minute here, there's some other priorities out there that either I'm aware of or other courts have told me about that I haven't heard of. Is anybody?
It's Judge Barton.
Okay.
One I had that wasn't from the court that I surveyed is fine and fee backfill to the extent there's continued declines based on changes in case or statutory authority.
Okay, great. So any others, again, just in an effort to make sure that if anybody has, as members of TICBAC for the good of the order, other BCP priorities or thoughts that they've heard that you haven't heard mentioned by us today. Okay. As we go through this, you know, I think the strength of this committee is sometimes we have new thoughts or we modify them, so please don't be shy about doing that. I know you won't. So Brandy and Lucy are working right now to sort of prioritize these. We do have our work plan. I was going to put that off to the end just in the sense of it's present for all of you. See if any of you have any thoughts or comments about this. This work plan will be submitted back to the council, back through the committee we report to. I can summarize it. You all have it in your materials. Does anybody have any questions about the work plan in general? Any thoughts or concerns about things we should change? We're sort of in a position now, at least from my perspective, and I'm just one member of many, that the budget has been, I think, one that we all appreciate and hope stays in place. If it does, I think it really puts us in a position to be, while perhaps, you know, there's always something more, it also puts us in a position to really be confident and strong that we are able to move forward with our goal of providing access to justice. But so I'm kind of, as far as the work plan goes, it appears to be consistent with that, our annual agenda. But I haven't heard any comments about thoughts about how we need to change it.
Judge Conklin, this is John Wardlaw. Would it be helpful to the committee if Zlatko and I share some of the feedback we got from the administration as they were contemplating the proposals that ultimately land in his governor's budget?
That'd be great, and I think it's a good time to do that, especially in light of some of the concerns we heard about full funding for WAFM and how, John, both either John or Zlatko, you might have some input on where we really are on that now if the budget stays in place. So that's a good suggestion from both of you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Judge. All right. So with respect to our number one priority proposal, as you all recall, the trial court funding stabilization proposal, we asked for $548.7 million, of which $442 million was tied to our workload formula and base need. There was a $57.8 million ask tied to the cost of doing business. We asked for a consumer price index that would be applied 3% on a rolling every year basis. And then we asked for an additional $48.3 million tied to maintenance of effort payments. With respect to the workload conversation, the finance, as you know, included $45.9 million in the governor's budget for workload. Zlatko, you have a point?
Yeah, just the language was specifically talking about equity funding. The narrative, was not sort of reflective of workload, but of further equity effort by the branch.
Right. I think that was the administration's their perspective is with respect to workload that piece of the puzzle, that $46 million, is tied to workload and the equity funding, and with that and the $62 million that they is basically equivalent of a 3% increase, I think that's a very good position from the administration in the governor's budget. With that, as our work year value, we're all familiar with the discussion we had within the branch family about work year value. The Judicial Council approved a change that looked at our work year value at 1643. If you use that measure and you count the additional dollars coming into the branch, we would be at, on average, 87.7% funded from a workload standpoint. If you use the barometer, which most other governmental entities use, which is a work year value of 1776, then our average funded level would be 93.8%. And so the administration's comments to us have been, we think from a workload standpoint, they've really addressed that need, and that it would be prudent for us as a branch family to look at other targeted things, not so much on the discretionary workload argument, but if there are other things, they definitely said facilities, construction, those are high priority issues that they're much more open to having discussions with us. Absent some change in law or something that would push workload, their perspective is this governor's budget makes us pretty healthy. The other thing that was shared was other state entities don't enjoy this level of funding for their workload programs, and that that if you looked at some of the other workload programs, you'll see they're in the neighborhood of 83, 85, mid-80s funded, and so I think this budget gets us pretty healthy on the workload side, and we should start to think of other areas to focus on in future proposals. Again, facilities being one that they recognize in the governor's budget, they deferred. We had asked for $165 million for maintenance. They said we are going to have a deep conversation with the branch during the spring process. They did not include any funding for maintenance in the governor's budget because they knew we were going to be coming forward with a series of capital projects and wanted to handle that all at one time. So I expect that they'll be having conversations. They have signaled that they are in agreement that there is a statewide need, including courts, with respect to maintenance. So that was kind of the top-level messaging that we got from the administration.
Yeah, and I would add there's been a number of items related to cost of doing business, salaries, the OE&E, and things like that. And the 61.7 reference is in the governor's summary, but the last sentence of the paragraph says that the administration is committed to working with the Judicial Council to determine the best way to address future costs. And so we take that as the openness to look at how these inflationary pressures that are facing all government operations are being addressed on an ongoing basis. So I would sort of see that as an opportunity to talk about a mechanism similar to what we proposed in the budget, the BCP that John started off the conversations with. So I think there's been good progress on that aspect of the budget and the structural movement going forward as well. So
great.
Okay, thank you, Saka.
Yep. So just for clarification, and I'm probably stating the obvious, so I'll keep it brief, the 61.7 is ongoing funding at a level of 3% to all the courts based upon last year's budget and numbers, but we don't have a mechanism in place to address cost of living increases at the present time. Is that accurate? Hello?
I'm sorry.
You guys still on?
Who was that question for?
I just throwing out that's a lot for John.
Okay.
Make sure. Yeah, I'm sorry, I should have been more specific, but the $61.7 million is ongoing funding, but it's not, it's a 3%, I think, as Lotko said, and I'm paraphrasing, a cost of living, a COLA increase, fixed cost increase, but there's no mechanism right now for a fixed cost.
That's correct, Judge. It is an ongoing $61.7 million continuous, but there is the administration was very reluctant or resistant to something that binds them on an ongoing basis in statute. The fact that we got it and their language points to the need for an ability to recognize cost of doing business is there, but they were not willing to do something that binds them legally ongoing.
Great. I appreciate that clarification. Thanks, John.
You bet.
So circling back to Lucy and Brandy, have you had enough time to sort of put together a priority list for us?
We are about 2 minutes out, almost done.
All right. So how about them Dodgers?
So Judge Conlon, this is Mike Planet. I just want to throw out a response to what John Z just told us. I think it's good news to hear that they're open to discussing how we handle cost of business increases over the next few years. That's encouraging. And I also just want to add my thanks and congratulations for good work and what's shown up in the governor's proposed budget. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think we'd all echo that appropriate comment. It's I think we're just hoping it stays where it is.
I do have one question. You guys have a take on the recent articles I read over the last day about the concern raised about funding for courts coming from school budget lines?
You're talking about there's a local property tax offset that
right.
The state that is something that the state and the Department of Finance and the legislature, they manage. It is transparent to us. We get our resources. So the local property tax offset is not anything we're involved in. We receive our general fund, and then they do a back-end offset as any excess property taxes are collected through counties. So we really don't have a position on it. It is not a part of our budget per se. It's just part of the overall state budget and managing the general fund costs.
Got it. Thanks.
Okay, so I think we're just sort of in a holding pattern. Brandy and Lucy, you guys are doing great. So I know it takes time to put these lists together, considering everything we had. Looking at our agenda, our meeting agenda here, to see if there's anything else. There's the trial court trust fund held on behalf of, and I don't even know if we want to go down that road at this point. Cottrell, are you on the call?
Nah, we'll save you. We got it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sorry, Judge, go ahead.
Nothing. Go ahead.
I'm just going to go ahead and send this out to all of the members. And then we can take it from there, Judge, if you want to lead us in prioritization.
Great.
So, Judge, the way it works, if you remember, is each member will do their top three.
Okay. So this is going to be
email. Or if we want to go that route, or unless you guys want to first have a discussion, it's pretty clear for what you guys want to focus on.
Yeah, so why don't you give us one, let's all receive the list, and that might dictate the way we think is best to proceed.
Got it.
Yep.
I can play the Jeopardy song if you want.
No, please. All right. It is on.
And so if members could look and then let us know if they believe something they submitted is missing, too.
This is a minimized list of recipients. Oh, goodness. The pressure.
We're doing great. You guys, this is really remarkable of the progress we're making, so no rush. I do have some people that have noted that they have to sort of, by 1 o'clock or right around there, given calendars or other commitments, that's fine. Just let us know where you go or that you're going so we can keep track, but I know this is a busy time for everybody.
Right, so it should be hitting inboxes any time now.
Fresno's further away, so I guess that's the problem. There we go. All right. All right. Is there anybody that doesn't have it yet?
This is Marginus. Mine hasn't come through yet.
Same with
Cole. I don't have it.
Okay, let's wait another minute or two. Sorry, my clock's a little fast.
John, this is Dan Buckley. As I told you, I need to jump off the call. May I just throw out that the two things that I put on the top would be the ongoing, however we're going to refer to it, CPI costs and so forth, and also the civil assessment MOE backfill.
Excellent. Okay, thanks.
We're talking off, but I wanted to give you that input, please.
I appreciate your input. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Everyone have a good day. Thanks.
You too.
Thanks, you too.
So do we have folks who have not received it yet?
I haven't. This is Marginus.
Wow. Maybe your spam filter caught it.
Oh, here it comes. It just
Excellent.
Came through. Thank you.
Great. So just so I understand this, Brandy and Lucy, there's numbers on these. Is that a ranking or is that just a numbering system for Excel?
Excel, this is in no order of ranking.
Okay, good. So it's in no order of priority or popularity, so to speak, as the number of times it was mentioned. Okay.
Correct.
So I'll just start the conversation. I heard a lot of mention of what Judge Buckley just described as CPI. I'm looking for where it would be on the list.
So, Judge Conklin, this is Sherry Carter. You brought up, I think, a good point, and that is if we're representing the branch, how many times an item came up may be something that would be helpful for us to know, because that may help the ranking since we're looking at this as a statewide approach.
That's a great suggestion, Sherry. Where on the list am I looking at the item that Judge Buckley just mentioned that I think came up from almost every person, and that is the fixed cost CPI? Which
row
number?
Row 31, Judge.
Pardon me?
Row 31.
Okay. Yeah, but don't call it negotiated
34.
Salary increases.
No, that's 34. 31, Sherry. 31.
34. Sorry.
All right, so 34. Annual, described as automatic annual inflationary adjustment.
Yes.
So
and that would incorporate 32. I would propose we get rid of 32 because that's part of 34, and we should never target just salary increases because they're one of many cost increases that we have.
Any disagreement with that? And that those salary increases and then in themselves become local issues. So I tend to agree with Sherry that 34 is stated. I like the way that you guys put that together, and I think that's a pretty broad umbrella. But does anybody have any thoughts about Sherry's suggestion that we just say 34 is incorporated 32?
This is Rebecca. I agree with Sherry.
Okay.
Judge Thompson, I agree.
So, I, and again, just going off the same theme, that's what I heard mentioned most, automatic annual inflationary adjustment as we understand it. Does any member have a thought about either rephrasing that or a thought about that not being our first priority?
Judge Conklin?
Yes, Judge Cope.
Thanks. This is Mark Cope. I did want to comment about that I think most of us tried not to repeat things that had already been mentioned, so I don't think we can
Correct.
Go on the number of mentions.
Unless we took a vote. I mean, unless we all said how many of us represented it. I agree with you, Judge Cope. I didn't go through my list either.
Well, I kept track of everybody's, and many, many times people said they've already been mentioned, and I guess you're right, Judge Cope, I shouldn't presume, but I presume that by saying already mentioned it included that. But that's a very good point. So we can either start off by saying, okay, do we want to take a vote as to whether that's our first one, or does anybody have any other thoughts about what should be perhaps considered first in place of that?
Judge, I'm prepared to take a vote if everyone wants to go through maybe the top three in order of their top three. We can manage that today.
Yes, each member would say what their top three are, and we can.
So One other thing, I'm sorry to be a nitpicker. I think that's a good approach, but in that column starting with line 30 going down to 34, it says in 2021 governor's proposed budget, it does not include an automatic annual inflationary adjustment. It includes a one-time 3%.
Yes.
Okay, so let's not confuse anybody, right? Okay.
Got it.
So we can just start off at the top of the list and go 1 through 3 if that's what everybody would like to do, and you guys are prepared to keep track of that?
Yes.
Yes.
So tell you what, let us think, because I'm going to be at the top of the list probably. Just give me a moment to look at them all over, and we're doing great on time. I don't want to rush everybody, so I want to give everybody 2 or 3 minutes to sort of look at all this and sort of put together your list. And when we come to each member, we'll simply be asking, could you please state what you consider to be the top 3 priorities from a statewide trial court perspective? So let's just do that, and I'll fire us back up in about 3 minutes. But don't hang up.
This is Judge Heinrichs. So as far as the court reporter shortage, also what I heard was sort of court reporter shortage or alternative record, it kind of goes together because, you know, I think there is a recognition of an importance of a record, and if there aren't court reporters, then courts have no other option. So I think that it blends together those two points, or it needs to be a separate point, but I might have missed it. I don't see that kind of alternative record.
It's under IT for with digital recording. Do you want to put it with the shortage one?
So I, for one, I don't think we should do that because there's a very – I'm just stating the obvious, but from a court reporter's perspective, these are two completely separate items. And I think we need to acknowledge that while they're perhaps both hand in hand, there's a big difference between getting additional funding to hire more court reporters or funding to – have digital recording in lieu of hiring more court reporters.
I guess my idea isn't that it's either or. It is fund court reporters and, when unavailable, authorize digital recording. Because if you can't get one, if you don't have in place what the process is, our courts are left with no record at all. So I actually see it as a combined. More funding for court reporters, but if no court reporter is available, then how do we make a record? And so, like I said, I see them as combined and not either or. And I don't, because it's not a fight to try to get rid of court reporters. It is a recognition that we need records in our courtrooms for access to justice and fairness. And if we can't either afford or have a court reporter to hire, how else are we going to maintain a record?
Thoughts?
This is Neil Panagucci.
I don't see how that's related to funding BCP.
Sherry, are you referring to the alternative measures of the alternative ways of recording hearings?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I see that as something that the Legislative Affairs Office and new legislation would have to look at.
So I guess my feeling is it'd be for the cost of equipment to do that, because nobody can just turn a switch and have an alternative recording process.
But we can't do that right now, can we, even if we had the funds for it?
No.
So that's the problem. And Joyce, I agree with you completely. If we had other ways to do it. But I think step one to that is a legislative change before we can ask for funding for that, except what's already allowed. Now, or if you're limiting it to what is allowed by statute at the present time, then
I guess the hard part is, to me, if we're talking about potentially giving court reporters increased transcript money and more money if they're available, that while it, and again, it may not be a budgetary thing, but I think there needs to be a recognition that if you don't have them available, a record, because records are so important, I mean, that's why we want to hire more, and that's why everything else, but if they're not available, how do we have an adequate record? And I guess I see the conversations going together, because I actually see that court reporters would say, okay, you're right, you're going to pay us more money for the work we're going to do, but if we can't staff you, then we will be supportive of a change. But I get that it's not strictly a budgetary. It perhaps is more of a strategy discussion in the matter.
And I appreciate the way you phrase that, and that might give, as you just said, a strategy perspective. If we were to prioritize either a page rate increase or additional funds for court reporters, then perhaps we could also work through the legislative process in recognition for our appreciation of that money as to how we would then be able to get alternative measures when that money isn't sufficient to allow for those hearings.
Right. I guess my feeling is that it really goes to the critical need for a record to have justice in court.
And I don't think any of us disagree with that, but you're right. I don't think we can get there right now without a legislative change.
So Judge Conklin, this is Sherry Carter. I have a couple of other kind of quick thoughts before we prioritize, and that is on this list, and boy, you guys did a great job doing this so quickly. I see both ongoing BCPs and what I consider one-time BCPs. I also see some items here that do not come out of trial court operations, and so I would propose that we not consider those or do it differently. So, for example, most of the technology issues are really more one-time. Ongoing maintenance is not, but digital recording, digitizing records. The beauty with those one-time BCPs is I'm sure they're easier to fund because they're one-time in nature, but the ongoing BCPs are the ones that tend to live forever and help us forever. So I wonder if we should talk about different lists with one-time and ongoing. The second thing is interpreter funding and video remote comes out of a completely different fund. It's a different budget line item. And so I would hate for us to give up a chit for having an opportunity to provide to the council a list of ongoing BCPs that would benefit the trial courts and use one of those places for something that's funded differently from a different line item. And, of course, I defer to John and Zlotko and others who may see it differently, but I would hate to use one of our operational improvement chits to fund an area that's a different line item. And then the last thing is the unfunded mandates related to work. I don't know if that's a BCP or if that's a request to the WAC committee to go in and measure that work so it can be included in both the judicial needs assessment and RAS. So that's it for me.
Excellent. And I might be sort of saying what you just said from a slightly different perspective, but on many of the information technology items, JBTC, the internal technology committee, has just prioritized their BCPs, and they may be somewhat repetitive of this. So to use your phrase, Sherry, I'm not sure we want to burn a chit on what they're going to propose to the council as a BCP that might be repetitive of ours.
Well, I agree.
This is Mike Planet. I agree as well.
Would that be the same or not for a lot of these facilities issues, or are those beyond the – I think they're probably separate now that I think about it, because what's currently being considered by the council is for actually new buildings, and I don't think this addresses that. So never mind.
Well, new construction modifications and upgrades do.
Yeah, I think maintenance it does as well.
Yeah.
So those are probably best left to the facilities committee to prioritize, and then presumably we'll get another look at those somewhere down the process.
And this is Brandy. You guys will have a chance to weigh in on those proposals that are made by other committees that are under TICFAC's purview, and we'll do that later in the spring.
So that's why it's helpful to know that the number of courts that we surveyed as part of our survey have identified these facility funding issues as well. So we'll be able to use that when we get the facilities list.
We can.
Okay. Okay. Well, so I guess if everybody's had time and recognizing now that we're getting closer to 1 o'clock, that might change people's lists. So for instance, I had number one. Do you want me to start, Brandy, since I'm at the top of the list?
And if you don't mind, I know Judge Thompson had to leave by one, if he can go next.
All right, so I'd rank number 34 as the first. I was going to rank number 16 as the second. That's maintenance, including deferred maintenance, unless folks think that that's already included through other committees. And as far as the third one goes, it would be technology, but I think also technology is going to come in through and it'd be ongoing maintenance for case management systems and transition. So just those would be my top three for the time being.
And I guess, this is Judge Thompson, I guess my question is in doing this vote, should we really be focusing on what Mr. Wardell and Mr. Theodorovich shared with us relative to the governor's office position? Because, frankly, once I heard that, I think even though it was on courts that I'm reporting on, number 31 was high, that's kind of dead in the water is what I hear. And so then I think the focus goes to 34, although increased for general operations was still there as high. And then civil assessment, maintenance of effort backfill. And you know, if 31 is out, then I drop down and go into the new construction maintenance, really falling into the same category that was talked about for facilities.
And I'm sorry to jump back in, but I not only echo what Judge Thompson said, but rephrase it. And that would be, I think if we come up with another general operational request, we might be shooting ourselves in the foot. I don't know how else to say it, but
that's where I was going with that. So that's why I was kind of backing off that in light of what I heard. And I think we ought to prioritize and refocus in light of where the effort is to benefit the branch as a whole.
Judge Thompson, this is Brandy. So looking at what was your last one, you mentioned both maintenance and new construction, if I got that correctly. Go ahead.
It was a discussion that new construction and maintenance, I thought, went together, but it was really under the purview of another committee, facilities, that would ultimately come back to us.
Got it.
So
go ahead. Lucy, go ahead.
Clear on your vote. Your first vote was 34, correct?
Correct. I'm assuming the general operations, and we're going to, you know, bear in mind what was shared with us so that we can maximize the benefit to the courts statewide as a whole. I take out 31, because that was number one in various on my reporting courts. Go with 34, go with number five, and then go with construction and costs associated with new courthouse construction. That includes maintenance and, frankly, local costs, because we know there are increased local costs. I mean, I think some of those go together when you look at the package.
So that's fair. So is there a proposal to put 21 with 17?
Say that again, Lucy.
Well, local costs, that one's different, Lucy. I think you mean 16 and 17.
Oh, I think Lucy's right. I think what the court's saying is when there is new construction of a state courthouse to expect court to pay for local costs, they don't have the money for those local costs. All of those local costs that courts currently pay for new construction should be rolled up in the construction costs.
Yeah.
I'm with it. Thank
you.
All right, are you ready to
move to 17?
Yeah.
You ready to move to
Rebecca? I'm going to sign off. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Okay. Okay, shall we continue through the list, Judge?
Yes, please. Yep.
Ms. Fleming.
So my number one would be row 34, the automatic annual inflationary adjustment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number two would be line 16, facilities maintenance. And number three would be number five, civil assessments and maintenance of effort backfill.
Thank you. Judge Barton?
34, 5. And I had a question. I'm torn between 8 or 9. And the question for Zlatko or Mr. Wardlaw would be whether unfunded mandates would be best for us to deal with in terms of the WAFM formula, or is that the kind of thing, if we can identify them, that would be a good BCP?
No. Thank you, Judge. This is John Wardlaw. I think if we can show that there is unfunded workload associated with these this piece of the puzzle, that's fine, that can stand on its own. If you go down the workload path, the staffers at the Department of Finance, I can share, their recommendation to their executive management was not to support additional funds at this point. They got rolled on that decision. And so going under the auspices of workload, I think is going to be challenging unless we can tie it to a very specific set of mandates that generate in workload.
All right, thank you. Then mine are 34, 5, and 8.
I got it, Judge. Thank you. Judge Buckley, his first was the ongoing CPI, so I will put him first for number 34. He has civil assessments and MOE as his number 2. Judge Cope?
I guess I have a question first. I thought I understood Ms. Lacco and Mr. Wardlaw to be saying that the administration was okay with inflationary adjustments, but not okay with automatic going forward because they don't want to be bound by that. Did I misunderstand that?
No, you got it right. They were understanding that the cost of doing business, that there are increases. I think that there is room for a continued dialogue with them on an annual basis to address those, but they did not want to be bound statutorily to an ongoing, if the economy starts to shift, they don't want to be tied down to a requirement legally to fund that.
Yeah, okay. And I understand. Okay. Well, I'm going to prioritize these three. Number one, I'm going to request additional judgeships because I think that actually gets us to 31, but provides additional judges and the funding that comes along with that. Number two would be line 5, and my number 3 would be line 16.
So we're adding civil assessments as well as maintenance and deferred maintenance.
Yeah.
Great, thank you. Judge Fannin.
34, 5, 16.
Thank you. Judge Gabe?
Just a point of clarification. My understanding is we are ranking this based on the whole discussion that we've had, not necessarily what the priorities are for the individual courts that we reached out to.
Correct.
Okay. Then with that clarification, I would put number 34, the annual inflationary adjustment, number 1, new construction maintenance, number 16, 2, and number 5, civil assessments, is 3.
Got it. Thank you. Judge Heinrichs.
So my number 1 would be additional judgeships. My number 2 would be civil assessments and the MOE backfill. And my number 3 would be forensic evaluations and mental health.
Thank you. Judge Kelly.
My number 1 would be number 34. Number 2 would be number 5, the civil assessments. And then the 3rd would be 17, the modification of 16 and 17 together, new construction and maintenance.
Yep. Go ahead.
The modification we made was new construction and local cost associated with new construction.
Okay, then 16.
Great.
Thank you.
Kelly. I got you. Thank you. Judge Martinez.
Yes, thank you. Can I have that last comment back on the relationship between new construction and local costs associated with new construction? Are they combined as one?
They're now combined into one, yes, because they go hand in hand.
Oh, okay, very good. Then my numbers would be 34 first, and then 5 and then 17.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jed Ryan.
Number one is 34. Number two would be number five. Number three, number 19. Debt service.
Yep, got you. Thank you. Ms. Bartleson is not here today. Ms. Carter.
Number one is 34. Number two is line five. And number three is the 1721 combo.
Great. Ms. Eberhardt. Mr. Finke.
I would say number one is 34. Number two is number five. And number three would be number 17.
Thank you.
Randy, this is Nancy. I'm back on again. Sorry.
Oh, great.
I had it on mute. I was talking away.
It was very good.
Number one is 34. Number two is number five, and I have a question related to number three, and that is on the self-help funding that's due to sunset in 21, are we on track to be taking care of that, or is that still in play?
This is Lotko, Nancy. We've had conversations with the folks at CFCC about that. They are completing the so, yes, it's in process on their end to look for that to be made ongoing and permanent, coupled with the kind of benefit cost analysis that's required by statute for that.
Wonderful. Then the number three would be 11. Thank you.
Forensic evaluations of mental health. Yes, Nancy?
Correct.
Correct. Thank you. Mr. Landry?
Mine would be number 34 as one, number five as two. And I have a question for Zlatko or John on the 3% cap. I heard that from several courts. Has there been any discussion or do you see any inroads on that at this point?
I think in terms of framing a different conversation might be an opportunity there as far as the way John had described it earlier. When we look at the state's rainy day fund, and what it's being set aside for, it as a very specific use and how it could be used. Not sure whether or not a sort of a general increasing in the cap is something that would be looked upon just as they've just done it to the 3%, but if there's some potential to reframe it in a different way, there might be some opportunity to have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll do number nine as three.
Thank you. Mr. Planet.
So my ranking is number 34, number 5, and number 10.
Number 10. Mr. Wool.
Number 34.
Yes.
Then the number 1721 combination.
Yes, sir.
And then number 16, facilities and maintenance.
Thank you. Mr. Taniguchi.
Number 34, number 5, number 16.
Thank you. Mr. Taylor was not with us today, or Ms. Turner, or Mr. Yamasaki. So we made it through this part, everyone. The very clear front runner is number 34, automatic annual inflationary adjustment. The next in the ranking is the number 5, civil assessments and MOE backfill. We then have number 16, maintenance, including deferred maintenance, followed by number row 17, new construction, that's combined with number 21.
After that, nothing gets more than...
Well, we have additional judgeships.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that, we have a few peppered with one or two votes.
So were you able, and I'm really sorry, can you give us the number of votes for each of those? Can you have that?
Yeah, I can send it out. Or do you want to know it live, and then I can send it out to everyone?
Sure.
Okay. Just send it out? Okay, I'm sending that out now.
Okay, great. So, again, this is 34, 5, 16, and then 17 are the top four vote getters. and then new judgeships.
Sorry, Jen, I'm going to go with you again. 34, 5, 16, 17, and 3.
Thank you.
Yep.
So what we're doing, folks, is there, again, you guys are fantastic. I so appreciate this. But as soon as we get this, then I think we're getting pretty close to being able to call for a vote if you'd like to make those. John and Zlatko, do you have a suggestion as to, I know it's always, as far as importance, the number of BCPs we move forward on, and we've tried to narrow these. Do you have a suggestion as to how many we push forward?
Judge, this is John. With respect to how many ultimately make it to the Judicial Council for consideration in July, you know, I think that we'll probably still be in the 15 to 20 range is I think acceptable. That said, we did get feedback from finance this year again that we were one of the largest requesters out there. Our rebuttal is yes, and we're the third branch of government, and so we're not a department; we are a branch of government, and so I think the 15 to 20 BCP range is acceptable. I think the construction stuff and facilities; those are big dollar amounts, and they will consume a lot of the conversation as we move forward. Should it be a priority of this committee?
Okay. So just so we're all clear, and I want to make sure because it changed a little bit, this, our recommendation here is going to go to Judicial Branch and Budget, who are going to consider all of the different submissions, and then where does it go from there?
Council.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So just so I just want everybody to understand the steps that are taken. It goes here to JBBC to Council.
Yes. And before the vote, Judge, I have a clarifying question. So the discussion around the automatic annual inflationary adjustment, does the committee want that drafted as an automatic annual adjustment request or an adjustment request for 21-22?
So one time versus ongoing.
Well, Judge, this is John again. We just asked for an ongoing and we got a pretty clear no from the administration. My recommendation would be, at least for this first year after they've done this, to go on a one-time basis, get some traction there, and then move forward with an ongoing statutory change.
Anybody have a comment on that? So that would change it. We would just take out the word
automatic annual.
Right. It's just an annual inflationary adjustment, hopefully akin to what we just got.
Yeah,
right.
All right. Does anybody want to? I don't want to make this more complicated. That was the number one vote getter. Does anybody feel that now with that change it shouldn't be? Okay. So you have the numbers in front of you, folks. That shows that number 34, number 16, and number 5 are the top three, and then separated significantly next would be 17 and 3. So I would invite discussion about whether or not we want to move all five of those forward in that ranked order or just the top three. A resounding sign.
Well, this is Cope, and I move all five.
All right, that's a motion. So I'm going to interpret that as a motion. And Judge Cope, are you moving those all five in ranked order as far as number of votes?
Yeah, I think that's great.
This is Judge Kelly. I would second that motion.
So it's been moved and seconded. Just so we're all clear, I know we're all looking at it, that in order, the ranked order to JBBC would be number 34 is 1, number 5 is 2, number 16 is 3, number 17 is 4, and number 3 is 6. That's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on that?
Judge Conklin, this is Chad Finke. Just a quick question, which is, it is the thought as you refer them along, I don't know that we would need to give them the absolute numbers of, you know, sort of the tallies on the right, but I wonder if it's worth letting them know just that 34 and 5 are, you know, almost near unanimous, right? Just so that they understand, I mean, this is our top five, but the top two are like almost unanimous. So just a thought.
I agree with that. I just want to clarify, because the number did, just somebody pointed out, we don't have 51 members on the committee.
Wait, I do a weighted vote, Judge. So the reason I asked for the top one first is it carries more weight than the ones that are on the lowest.
Thanks for that clarification.
Okay. Yes.
All right. So, Chad, I'm sorry. I kind of was focused on that issue. What was your concern?
Not a concern at all, Judge. Just a question that in passing these along to JBBC, just a question or just for discussion, whether it's worth letting them know, you know, here's our list of five, but there are these two that when you weight them are, you know, really in the five, I don't know, the ranking doesn't tell the whole story, I guess, because there's these two that we pretty much all agree on.
Well, so I don't know who made the motion, but we could modify the motion to say number 34 and number 5 receive significant, I don't know, I'll let the magicians work this out, but I agree. Maybe we need to get the message across that if they said, hey, you can only have two, we'd want 34 and 5.
The one way to do it, Judge, is we have 1, 2, and 3, all three ranked evenly. The three lowest ones would be all ranked 3. And then one and the other two would be 1 and 2. So it's clear that the three that are ranked equally are less important.
Okay, so the...
And we can address it in the narrative. I don't think it necessarily needs to be covered in a motion.
All right, so I don't think we need to modify the motion. The motion that's been moved and seconded is that those five be set forth in that ranked order. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? I've heard none. Is there any opposition to the motion that, and I'm just going to state it clearly so we all have it, that in ranked order, number 34 is 1, number 5 is 2, number 16 is 3, number 17 is 4, and number 3 is 5. Any opposition to that motion? Hearing no opposition, as the chair, I'll deem, and Rebecca, you're the vice chair. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
All right, so we're both deeming it unanimously approved. Thank you all very much. And this was, boy, you guys made great use of this. I think just speaking as the chair, every effort was made that every trial court had input on this, and I think that effort was accomplished. And thank you for staff. John Zlotko, your wisdom on the budget was much appreciated as well. And Lucy and Brandy goes without saying. I will take a moment. I know you all want to hang up the phone, but don't do that, please. You might not have been at the council meeting, but Lucy is as of tomorrow, Lucy?
Next Friday.
Will no longer be with the branch. That's her own decision. That is, she can say anything she wants. Except I will just echo the comments I made in front of the council last week as the chair of TICBAC. To say she's been an invaluable help to all of us is an understatement. As I told the council as chair, I didn't have words to describe the value that Lucy gives to budget services or to us at the advisory committee. And I don't want to say much more, but I think I can't.
You're making Brandy cry.
Anyway. We wish you the best, and we thank you the most.
All right, thanks.
That being said, everybody have a great weekend. Go Dodgers. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We're adjourned.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you, and goodbye.